Sunshine. I did not think I'd be seeing that by the time I got up here, I'll tell you. I got drenched on the way in this morning. So I have spent enough time in the public school system back in Alberta. I have been in enough arenas to know that our society has shifted in a major way. I've been in public school council meetings, I've been at the divisional level, I've even been at the provincial level listening to people talk about this shift in our society. And they all say the same thing. Everywhere I go, no matter what sphere I'm in, they said the same thing. They said volunteers are getting almost impossible to find. There was a time not that long ago where people would just sign up and they'd be happy to serve. He said, not anymore. He said, in our day and age, people are far more apt to give money and say, fix the problem, than they are to give of themselves and contribute. We often fill our schedules with things that we find of benefit to us personally. And counter to that is Jesus. Jesus had a whole different way of doing life. We are told in the church that Jesus taught us to live a life of service. And I think around the world today are many well-meaning followers of Jesus saying, why should I? Why should I live a life of service? I mean, I don't think it's necessarily a selfish question, nor is it a foolish question. Have you ever asked yourself, why should I? I mean, really, we're taught, especially in evangelical circles, you don't need to serve God in order to be saved, right? Technically true, thank you. I'm only going for technical at this point. It's technically true. You don't need to serve, you don't need to be in service. You can't earn your way to salvation, is what I'm very awkwardly trying to say. Okay? Also, in churches, it seems as though whether I serve or not, church programs seem to continue. So why should I? Also, whether I serve or not, they still let me in the front door. So why should I? What possible reason could there be for me, sitting where you're sitting, to serve? What benefit is there? Now, some of you in this room, you're already up to your eyeballs in service. God bless you. And you're wondering right now this morning, am I crazy? Really, if the rest of the world is going this way, but I'm moving in this direction, am I crazy? Should I really be giving my life to the service of others? Some of us in this room served a great deal at one point, but we have since scaled way back. And the question that we may have is, did I make the right decision? Some of us have never been involved, really, in service. And we're questioning that now. Some of us have never made a commitment to Christ. And this morning, you're wondering, what am I agreeing to if I become a follower of Jesus? I hope to answer all those questions as we discover that serving benefits everyone. Let's first of all take a look at what Scripture has to say. Scripture has so many things to say about how service has an effect on our world and on people. First one is, serving pleases God. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but serving, I think, pleases God because it's like we're becoming like Him. I think God, in essence, is a servant. And if you doubt that, you ever wonder, does God ever get back what He gives? Never. I mean, can you imagine if God played even Steven with us? If it was tit for tat, with humanity, that would never work. God always gives more than he gets. That is a mark of a true servant, would you not say? And this is what Scripture tells us. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." And here we get to it. "And don't forget to do good, to serve, and to share with those in need, also service. These are the sacrifices that please God." You know, at one point in humanity, people would offer animals in sacrifice, right? We don't live under that covenant anymore. The sacrifices that we make are acts of service. And it says that this pleases God. I'm not making it up. It's right there. You can read it for yourself. But doesn't that kind of boggle your mind? It boggles my mind. That every time you put others first and you serve God, the one who stretched out the universe, made billions of galaxies, dark matter, asteroids, planets, you bring him pleasure. Now, if that don't make your noggin smoke, I don't know what will. You bring God pleasure by serving. Man, you know, if God was, if he had a face, you'd be putting a smile on his face every time you serve. That's amazing. Service is a gift to our King. We do it because we love him. And it pleases him. Serving pleases God. That is, honestly, that's kind of pretty cool, and I could probably leave it there for today. But there's more. Aren't you glad? All right, let's go. Number two, serving makes me feel good. Now, some of you are very skeptical. I can tell your eyebrows are furrowing real hard. Serving makes me feel good. It is an expression of appreciation. And when you really think about what God has done for us, think about it just for a moment. Just think for a moment. If you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, somewhere along the line, God sought you out. He went looking for you. He sent his Son to die for you. Because of that, he totally forgave your every sin. He freed you from the power of sin. He adopted you into his family. He made you an heir of the kingdom. He secured your eternity. And when you think about these truths, when you really think about them, you become overwhelmed with gratitude. And you just want to do something in return. Reminds me of this great story of this young man, he was going through the lineup to shake the pastor's hand on the way out of the service. And this young man said, "I have one thing to tell you. My answer is yes. Now what's the question?" And this pastor probably did what I would have done. In your mind, you're thinking, you're a bit of a loon. And God bless you. That's what comes out of your mouth. "Oh, you've never done that. Come on now." The next week, that young man came up to the pastor. He said the same thing. "I have one thing to tell you." He said, "My answer is yes. Now, what's the question?" And the pastor thought, okay, this is bizarre. So he said, can we go for lunch this week? So they went for lunch. And he asked this young man, he said, "What do you mean when you say that?" And this is the young man's response. He said, "Pastor, I was hooked on everything bad, about to lose my family, sliding down a slippery slope towards certain destruction. Then Jesus intervened. Tears welled up in his eyes. Because of what Jesus did for me, my answer to you is yes. You are my pastor, and I'll do whatever you need. If you want me to rock babies, I'll rock babies. If you want me to usher, I'll usher. If you want me to mow the churchyard, I'll be here at 6 a.m. every Saturday. My answer to you will always be yes. Now, what's the question? This is a young man who appreciates what God has done for him. And he serves not out of obligation. He wants to serve because he appreciates what God has done for him. You want to know something really sad? In a recent survey, they surveyed people who serve in church. 25% of them admitted they serve out of guilt and obligation. 25%. If that was true at NAC, that means 25% of the people serving right now in kids' church do it because they feel obliged to. They feel guilted into it. How sad is that? How sad that in the church, a quarter of people serving would feel obligated or guilty and not out of gratitude. I love this, what Paul writes to the church in Ephesians. Get this. This is pretty crazy. He says, "By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ." Did you notice the word he used twice? Privilege. "It is a privilege to serve my King," he said. And you know, there seems to be a very basic formula in Christianity. The more we believe we have been forgiven, the more grateful we are. The more we believe we have been forgiven, the more grateful we are. Chances are, the more we'll want to serve. Paul thought he considered himself the worst. "God has forgiven me more than anyone," he said. And he ended up giving his life for Jesus. It is a privilege to serve. Oh, I wish every person who served in the church would do it because they felt it was a privilege to be able to serve their brothers and sisters and people outside the church. Isn't that right? Wouldn't that be great if everyone felt it was a privilege, not, "Oh, I guess I'm on the schedule this week and I guess I'll show up, but I'm going to show up late." None of you would ever do that, I'm sure, but never. Thank you. All right, number three. Serving advertises the truth. Ever since the beginning of Christianity, Christians have been on the front edge of serving the poor, starting orphanages, hospitals, schools, and this still continues to this day. But they're also involved in freeing people from sexual slavery, helping single women become entrepreneurs around the world. And all of these require servants. They need people to give their time. I'm so glad that there are people who demonstrate that serving Jesus is not just a creed that you agree to. It's just not a box where you check off, "Well, out of all the world's religions, yeah, I guess I'll check off Christianity." But being a follower of Jesus is a way of life. Check this out, 1 John 3:18. I think this was read last week. "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions, our service, will show that we belong to the truth." You ever think about that? Every time you serve, every time you give of yourself for someone else, you are demonstrating truth. You are expressing love in service. And every time your kids see you serving, your neighbors, your family, your spouse, your parents, every time they see you serving, you are proclaiming the truth to them. Every time they see you serving the LGBTQ community, or the homeless, or the mentally ill, or the poor, or the immigrant, you are following in Jesus' steps. We said our mission is to invite people to follow Jesus. That's what we're about, following Jesus. Jesus was the ultimate servant. When we serve, we are following in his steps. So serving benefits people who don't know Jesus yet. It's an advertisement for Jesus. Number four, serving humbles me. I said this last week. You know, my experience is that people who serve are the ones who are growing in their faith. And the ones who are uninvolved tend to not grow. It's just a simple formula. This is what Paul writes to the Romans. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Including, don't think you're above humble service. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and this is in the context of serving and spiritual gifts, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Every one of you has a special function at NAC and in the larger church. We are many parts of one body, and this is the part I really want to focus on. And we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. Now, in our very individualistic society, with our individual rights and our individual freedoms, we don't like to think we belong to anybody. We don't even like to think we belong to our spouse or our parents or our job. We don't like to think we belong to anybody. And here it is, in black and white, in God's word for 2,000 years, it says, as a church, we belong to who? Each other. I belong to you. And you belong to me. And we belong to each other. And you know, that is a very humbling fact, is it not? Too often, you know, followers of Jesus will wake up on a Sunday morning and go, do I feel like going to church today? And they think it's all about them. They think it's about me, as though I'm the only factor in that question. What is Scripture telling us? We belong to each other. It's not about you. Your brothers and sisters need you. Oh, not a lot of amens this morning. We all belong to each other. This is humbling to us. And as we become more humble, we become more teachable. And as we become more teachable, we become more mature. And that is why serving humbles me and helps me to grow. Next, serving provides purpose. Our world is desperate for purpose. And some people will find their primary purpose in their work, or in being a parent, or in being part of a particular group, or climbing the corporate ladder, or some major accomplishment. And all of these will leave us hungry. Even kids eventually grow up and move on. So what is our purpose? I love this. This has got to be one of my favorites, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So we could sit in church? So we could read our Bibles more? So we could share more Christian memes on Facebook? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Think about that. We are God's masterpiece. You know, when an artist creates a masterpiece, it doesn't come about in some random kind of way. It's very well thought out, is it not? And it's designed with a certain effect in mind. Every curve, every color, every shape is planned out. It's designed with precision. That's what a masterpiece is. That's what God says you are. Let that soak in for just a moment. You are a masterpiece to God. You were made exactly the way God wanted you to be, because he had a specific purpose in mind before you were even born. There are good things out there waiting for you to do, helpful things, world-changing things that are unique to you, and they are pre-planned. There are people out there that you are destined to comfort, poor that you are destined to feed, discouraged that you are meant to encourage every time you say yes. Pastor John Ortberg said these very telling words. He said, "The primary reason Jesus calls us to servanthood is not just because other people need our service. It is because of what happens to us when we serve. The reason we help others is not because we are strong and they need us. It is because if we don't help them, we end up a hopeless relic." I wonder in churches all around the world how many followers of Jesus right now are hopeless relics. Sad to say, they've checked out of service. And they're wondering, what is my purpose? And yet we have this symbol of the ultimate service right in front of us. And they wonder, why am I here? We are to serve. That's why we're here. Finally, number six, the most obvious, serving helps people. It's not a brilliant point. I didn't spend hours on that one. Serving helps people. If you want to make the world a better place, don't look to other people. Look to ourselves, right? Become the solution. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Why? Duh. So we can help each other. It's a great truth. Sometimes we need to be right-minded. Oh, yeah, that's right. Serving helps people. That's why we do it. And so after all of this, you'll see that serving benefits everyone. Every time you say yes, it changes the world. Every time you put others first, the kingdom is advanced. Something changes. Isn't that exciting? Nothing you do goes for naught. I am blown away at the values that Jesus taught. I am. I've been a follower of Jesus for 35 years, I'm still blown away by Jesus and the values he taught, how different his values are. Our world values, if you were asked who are the greatest in our world, you might say, well, the attractive. Aren't they the greatest amongst us? They're the ones on the news. Who else are the greatest? The rich, the people with money, the powerful. The entertaining. Those are the greatest in our society. But what about the kingdom? Who are the greatest in Jesus' kingdom? Jesus said this, "The greatest among you must be, not maybe, not might be, must be a servant. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is a key part of the kingdom values that Jesus taught. It's completely upside down from what we live in, isn't it? It's amazing. Even in Christian circles, the greatest among us are not those who go to the most services, or who give the most money, or who read their Bible and pray the most, or even deliver the best sermons. They are the servants. They are the least. They are the ones who have given God permanent administrator rights on their Google calendar. And if you're not a techie person, ask the person next to you. An ancient Chinese proverb said this, "If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing," right? Yeah. Yeah, all right. If you want happiness for a month, get married. Hey, I'm just delivering the Chinese proverb here, okay? If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help others. I have toured a lot of schools in my time. Every school had a trophy case. These were the important mementos in the history of a school, things they're proud of, tournaments they won, medals they got, major academic accomplishments. These are the things that go into a school trophy case. But in the kingdom that Jesus came to establish, the rules are very different. And I often wonder, in the kingdom, what are going to be the items in the trophy case? What's going to be in the trophy case in the section marked Nanaimo Alliance Church? I've got some ideas. I stole this out of the kitchen. It's a dishcloth. This dishcloth has probably been used hundreds of times by a servant who would go into the kitchen behind the wall, start making coffee, start putting out all the fixings for other people, rarely get a thank you, are often one of the last people to leave on a Sunday morning. He's the greatest in the kingdom. This toy, which I also stole, I'll put it back. Relax. This toy was in our children's ministry room. This toy was given by one of our servants to untold numbers of little kids who came maybe for the first time to kids' church, to the nursery. And they were scared and they felt alone. But they were given this toy by someone who cared for them. Someone who loved them. She is the greatest in the kingdom. Can of soup. Stole this one from home. All right, it's not stealing. True. Can of soup. This is the type of thing that someone who volunteers for loaves and fishes would sort out once a month after the service. They never see the recipients of that ministry. Probably no one ever says thank you. But she is faithful every month. She comes and she sorts that food out behind the scenes, out of love. She's the greatest in the kingdom. A sound cord. Funny thing about sound people, as I always say, their best Sundays are when they're not noticed. Think about it. But this cord has been used probably hundreds of times. And some servant would come here before anyone else, even before the music team gets here, and they start setting up equipment. And they make sure that the sound is not too loud, not too soft, not too shrill, not too muffled, so that people could hear the gospel message, so that people could be encouraged in their faith. And again, probably rarely get a thank you. She is the greatest in the kingdom. A tray. A tray used to put food on for Alpha. People working behind the scenes. He would come on a regular basis and put food out for people in Alpha so that they could hear the gospel message, so that they could be changed by the power of Jesus Christ. And they'd put that food out there. They'd do it willingly. They'd do it gladly. He's the greatest in the kingdom. And finally, one last one. In our trophy case, maybe this. This is a baptismal certificate. There's no name in there. But this represents all the people that were invited to follow Jesus. Whether they accepted that invitation or not, we said our mission is to invite people to follow Jesus. It's in the invitation that we claim a victory, because someone put their friendship on the line. This certificate represents all those invitations that servants of Jesus Christ made at NAC. They are the greatest in the kingdom. Those are the things I think could be found because of the value system of this upside-down kingdom, where the greatest people are the servants. We have said that our vision is everyone a servant. This isn't just for our own benefit. This benefits everyone. My question to you is, what will you put in the trophy case? When all is said and done, and time is no more, what will you have put in the trophy case? Just know that our Father loves you, whether you serve or not. He does. He's crazy about you. He's offering you a lifetime of service for the benefit of others and for your own benefit. At the end of this series, you will have an opportunity to sign up into service. Some service things will be here at NAC, and some things will be for people outside of the church. But you will have the opportunity to say yes, knowing that serving benefits everyone.